Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike. Go on the Twitters, and there he is, everybody's favorite all-time cousin, Cousin Shane. What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Oh, I'll tell you what's going on, Shane. We got us one hell of a weekend here,
buddy.
In the SEC, seven conference games. Only thing finer would be if Florida and Georgia were playing this weekend. But, hey, they get 2 weeks off to get fired up for their game coming up. But, man, and not only do we have seven games, Shane, these are, I'd say six of them are complete toss-ups.
Brother, to say the least, right? I told you, Morristown haunted. I could have Morristown haunted just about every one of these games. In fact, there's two that I flipped right before I got on here because I just started thinking again, you know, and probably, yeah, I know, but it just feels like that, right? It's like, yeah, this team's winning, and then that little doubt starts creeping in, but what if this happens? Or what if this happens? And I feel like that's exactly what's going to happen this weekend. Pure chaos. Like you said, people are going to be eliminated from the college football playoffs. I feel like half of you guys are going to be upset come Sunday morning.
Mm.
The other half should be pretty happy, though.
Yeah, so, man, wild weekend. And if you haven't already, go check them out maybe when this is over. But posted two interviews today. Matt Hayes talking all things Florida Gators coaching search and all the hot seats around the SEC. We got our friend Gabe DeOrman from Power Mizzou to preview the Missouri Vanderbilt game and talk why Eli Drinkwitz, he's got all the reasons in the world to stay at Mizzou. So two great interviews on the channel. Go check them out. And buddy, I'm really just buying time because I still don't know who I'm going to pick.
Is that the case? Cousins don't know this, but after the show, I'll send Mike my picks, you know. And sometimes there'll be some marks, and sometimes there won't be any, but there may be a couple crossed out. You may convince me throughout the show that I may have got one or two of these wrong.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what you got right, buddy.
What's that?
MyBookie. Come on! Shout out MyBookie, presenting sponsor of the show. If you haven't already, go check them out. MyBookie.ag is the website. Promo code that. SEC is the promo code over at MyBookie, MyBookie.ag. That promo code, if you start an account, put an initial deposit, and you use that promo code SEC, Shane, they're willing to give you a buyback guarantee of up to $500, which let's say you put $50 into an account.
Yeah.
You listen to Shane, you get your picks wrong, MyBookie is going to give you that $50 right back, even if you get your money wrong. If you get them right, hell, just cash out and say thanks for sending us 50 free bucks. You know what?
Not telling you what to do, but, you know, you put it on your team, and it's kind of a win-win, you know?
And then I'll tell you what to do, Shane. You get that $50 or whatever you win.
Yeah.
You head on over to Tennessee Legend. Cousin Shay's going to be there this weekend for the old Peyton Sip. So go check out our friends at Tennessee Legend. There's a location here in Nashville. There's locations there in Sevierville. And, hell, maybe if you can't make it to either one of those, just go to your package store, ask them for Tennessee Legend. They're all over the Southeast region. So if your local liquor store does not have Tennessee Legend, hit them up aside the head and ask them why not, and they'll get you covered. You know what?
Absolutely. And like you said, I'll be there tomorrow at 7 at the Sevierville location by the Tarjay. They got two in Sevierville. They also got one in Nashville, so if you're close to that, be sure to check them out. But hopefully we'll get to see some cousins up there during the old paint and sip.
Yeah. Hey, all right. So, Shane, here's where things stand. I just want to remind everybody, Steven Lasson and the Cousins are whooping our ass. They're at 69. Letters to God really let the Cousins. I mean, we appreciate you, buddy, but you let the Cousins down, which we actually do appreciate because we need all the help we could get. Shane, rough week, but that just means you're about to bounce back here. And then I'm a couple picks back here myself. So how confident are you that you can kind of catch up here?
Not really at all, you know, because I feel like I do look at some of the picks I make and I'm like, what if the Cousins pick this one? You know, I felt like, but I can't think that way, Mike. So I don't know. We're going to find out sooner or later just how different our picks are, but I have no confidence in this weekend. I'll be honest with you.
None whatsoever.
Well, maybe one or two games. But other than that, no, there's, I would say probably three games right now. Seriously, you could convince me that your team's winning, you know, and hell, maybe four, you know what I'm saying? I just, I don't know, maybe seven.
All right. Before we get to it, Shane.
Yeah.
One other that, you know, we've been partnered with these fine folks for a long, long time. So I want to give a special shout out to Prize Picks. Maybe you're not into wagering on the games.
Yeah.
You don't want to bet on the over-unders. Maybe you're more into the daily fantasy sports, not just college football, but NBA, NFL, all the sports. They got you covered over at Prize Picks with play. And all it is they have player projections for each game, and you just select more than or less than. And if you get it right, you can win big. So go check them out, Prize Picks, promo code SEC. Same promo code as my bookie. SEC is the promo code. You play five, you get 50 over at Prize Picks. So go check them out. And I got some Prize Picks selections for you, buddy.
Come on now.
Now I'm on a cold streak. So I'm mixing it up, all right? So I'm getting off the wall here.
Okay.
Give me Blake Shapen, Mississippi State quarterback. How about this? I mean, this again, this is a great thing over at Prize Picks. They got so many different options. Longest completion, 38 and a half yards, more than or less than. I'm going against Texas. I'm saying more than, Shane, because basically that's what Mississippi State's offense is. It's like run the ball, launch a damn bomb. You know what I mean? So if he could get a 39 yard pass or longer against Texas, which I know Texas got really good defense, but they got a safety out. Mississippi State is going to throw the ball deep about eight times. You just need to complete one. Give me Blake Shapen more than longest completion, a 38 and a half. What's your thoughts?
Ooh, more than. Yeah. I mean, that seems like a pretty good number too, right? I feel like there could be a 34 in there. There could be a 31 in there.
Yeah.
But Mike, because you've been so bad at these, I'm going to say less than.
My luck, Shane, the longest one will be 38. He won't get to 39. I'll be like, damn it.
It'd be like a 42, but then there's a flag on the play.
All right. How about this one, Shane? Marcel Reed, outstanding quarterback, arguably up for the Heisman, right?
Yeah.
On the road at LSU, half an interception. Give me the more than. He's only thrown four interceptions on the season, but they haven't played a lot of road games. I think Marcel Reed gives us one interception if we're LSU. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, that could be a good one. That could be a good one. And then I'm trying to think, are you playing from behind and then read through one? Yeah, I feel like there could be some mistakes here. And I don't hate this one, Mike. I do not hate this one at all.
Okay.
Doesn't mean they're losing. It just means,
right?
Yeah.
Now, how about this one, Shane? Bo Prabula, outstanding quarterback.
Yeah,
you know he's had his moments, but I think it's safe to say he's struggled a little bit in conference play. 200.5 passing yards against Vanderbilt.
Yeah,
give me the less than. And this is here. I'm so bad, Shane, at Prize Picks this year. Maybe just fade all my picks here. But what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to go like 4D.
Yeah.
I'm beyond 3D at this point. I'm 4D. I'm seeing the chessboard, right?
Yeah.
Am I sitting here telling you Bo Prabula is bad? No, I am not. What I'm telling you, Shane, is Vanderbilt eats the clock. Missouri eats the clock. Missouri wants to run Ahmad Hardy and Jamal Roberts. So, you know, I'm putting all these pieces together. How likely is it that Bo Prabula is going to throw for 300? Well, I mean, he didn't have to get the 300, but over 200. Yeah. I don't think the odds are good. Does that make sense?
And again, unless you're at a deficit, right?
You know,
and Mizzou fans don't want to hear that possibility, but you're the underdogs in this game. So it could happen. That's the only, that for me, that would be the only reason that he would have over 200 is if they're trying to catch up.
Okay. And then again, I told you I'm getting wild over here, right, Shane? Give me LSU kicker. It's the first time I think I've ever in my life done a kicker. Damian Ramos, he's a really good kicker. 6.5 kicking points. Give me the more than, because that's the way I'm thinking it, two field goals and an extra point.
Yeah.
Give me the more than 6.5 kicking points for Damian Ramos.
You know, I'm like Cole Kublik. I could care less on this one.
All right, then final one here, Shane. Again, I hope I'm wrong, Shane. This is going to tip the hell out of my pick here. But Sellers, total yards. So passing and rushing, 199.5 total yards against mighty Alabama.
Yeah. Total yards, both passing and rushing?
Give me the more than, Shane. I'm buying it. I'm back in. Come on. If he does it. Now, where I'm concerned, I think he could get this, but he's been known to take an 18-yard sack a season.
Yeah, that's true.
He could get up there, and then these 18-yard sacks really could kill me on this one. But, again, we're talking one of the most talented players in the country. And, hell, even if let's say, worst-case scenario, Carolina gets in a giant hole.
Yeah.
He's going to have to throw out of it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, 199.5 total yards, passing and rushing. I like the more than.
Hell, he does it about every drive. It's just horizontal and not vertical. You know?
They're saying less than 100 up for Sellers.
Oh, man. Piling on them Gamecocks. I don't know. I feel like Sellers could have him a day. You know, it doesn't have to be a great day. Just, I mean, think about that. You say 60 yards rushing. That's not crazy. 60 yards rushing and then 150 yards passing. Yeah, I feel like that could happen.
I mean, they could lose by 50 points, Shane.
Yeah.
And I think he's getting 200 yards.
Yeah. They just keep running him. You wanted to run him, so here we are.
Okay. Final thing, Shane.
Yeah.
Before we get into the predictions, as always, special shout out to our man, James Bryant, meteorologist. James Bryant, go check him out on the Facebooks. He's got over 100,000. That's like 20 times the followers we have. And then on the Twitters, he's KATV James. This is a wild weekend for weather, Shane. It's going to affect a lot of football games. Cousin Rick, I see in the comments, he's going to hit on that one, as well as Arkansas, Auburn, a lot of these games. I mean, this is Cousin James Bryant. This is his week to shine here. So pay attention. And then he's got an upset pick, too, that I think you're really going to like here, Shane. So shout out James Bryant with the Week 9 SEC Weather Report.
All right, here we go. Another huge week of conference play in the SEC. And as far as weather is concerned, we do have some weather concerns in a couple of different games. We'll get to those. There's also some great weather games, especially if you're on the eastern side of the conference. So with that, let's get to it. We'll start with the early games, go to the mid-afternoon, and then go to the evening. For the early game, it's 11 a.m. Central. It's Ole Miss at Oklahoma. We do have a high chance of showers in this game. I think a lot of these showers are going to be moving out during the morning into the early afternoon, but there's still a good chance for some rain. My hope is that the thunderstorms are pretty much gone, so this doesn't affect the game being played. Again, there's a low risk of lightning. I wouldn't call it a high risk of lightning, though, so I think a good chance the game gets played. The high is 67. That rain chance is 70%. Just to the east in Fayetteville, this is another game that's going to have weather issues. Wind gusts could be up to 20 miles per hour in this game. There's a little bit of a higher chance that we see some lightning in this game, but again, it's not like last week with A&M where it's hail and wind and that kind of thing. So this is just going to be a steady rain. It's a rain game for Arkansas versus Auburn. Does it affect Arkansas's offense? Does it affect Auburn's offense? Not really sure what we're going to get here, but I'm sure we'll see a full stadium once again as somebody's O will go. Both teams 0-4. So it's a rainy day expected for the entirety of the game there in Fayetteville. A 90% chance of rain and a high of 64. Those are the early kickoffs. Let's go to the mid-afternoon games. Much better weather for these. This 2:30 Central, 3:30 kickoff, Alabama at South Carolina. It's sunny and 70 with light winds. It'll be cooler after sunset right after the end of the game. Missouri at Vanderbilt. Big matchup here in Nashville. It'll be 72 degrees and sunny with an east wind around 5 miles per hour. A beautiful afternoon in Nashville. And then the other mid-afternoon game is Texas at Mississippi State. My upset pick of the week. I think Mississippi State ends the SEC losing streak. I think they get this one. That game kicks at 3:15 Central in Starkville. High is 76. It'll be sunny. The rain moving through Arkansas right now does not look like it's going to arrive until after the game has concluded. So keep that in mind. There is rain coming from the west. So a good mid-afternoon time slot. Let's go to the night games. We have Tennessee at Kentucky. So further north there, it's a 6:45, 7:45 game. It will be sunny and 63 during the day, expected to be 59 at kickoff with light wind. Not bad weather for that one either. The biggest weather concern I have for the entire weekend is not actually Fayetteville or Norman. It's going to be down in Baton Rouge because Texas A&M goes to LSU. I think that this game has a real chance to have a delay because the thunderstorm chances are much greater here. You have all that humidity from the Gulf. These storms are going to produce lightning. So this game kicks at 6:30 Central. Thunderstorms are going to build to the west during the game. I think they're going to be producing lightning. They're going to move towards Baton Rouge right around kickoff. Now, you know, our model data shows one thing. That's not always exactly what happens. You could end up with the storms maybe sitting 10, 15, 20 miles away from campus, and it doesn't affect the game. Maybe it's just rain that affects the game. But I think there's a good chance that it rains during the game at some point. And I think there's a good chance of thunderstorms. And you see the lightning data there. Doesn't look good, and that's a six-hour time window, this lightning model, really beginning in the late afternoon and going through the evening hours. See a lot of concentrated lightning west of Baton Rouge, but I think it gets into the Baton Rouge area at some point, and it looks like some of that rain that moves into southeast Louisiana could be heavy at times. That tells me that there's going to be thunderstorms. So Texas A&M and LSU, big asterisk there. I think there's a possibility for a weather delay during that game. So the big weather issues this week are in Norman with just rain, Fayetteville with wind and some rain and maybe the outside shot of a thunderstorm, and then in LSU for LSU A&M, that's where I think thunderstorms are going to be the most likely. So make plans to keep up with your local forecast as you are headed out to any of these games. Otherwise, if you're going to a good weather game, enjoy. It's going to be another great week of football.
Bring your ponchos this weekend, Shade. You know what?
Not a sponsor this week, but you remember we used to do that. You get to the game, you wouldn't think about it. I mean, you're a kid, you're not thinking about rain, and then there we are putting that little 25-cent poncho on that grocery bag. Basically, we're all in the same orange color. You know, every one of us was soaking wet. I don't even know if it was worth it. Just embrace the weather. I love it. This is football weather, man.
Hey, Ron Mexico says, any thought to picking against the spread? I feel like we do that every week. I think you give participants more opportunity to gain ground when you need to.
Yeah. We'll give you the scores, and then you want to math it up. I mean, we do that. I mean, in fact, that's when I do a little, I do a couple parlays. Let's just keep posting those. Been doing pretty good on the old parlays here, Mike.
Yeah, lately, how dare you keep that to yourself?
It's the only thing making me money right now. That and betting on my team or against them.
All right, Shane.
Yeah.
Are you ready to make your picks for week 9 in the SEC? Let's start with mighty Alabama, Shane, on the road. Oh, wait. Hey, real quick.
Yeah.
I threw this statistic at Steven.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to confuse you a little bit more.
Okay.
Before you reveal your picks. Because I don't know. This stat blows my mind. So SEC teams with back-to-back road games in the conference. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Game two of a back-to-back road schedule last season.
Mm-hmm.
Game two of a back-to-back road schedule. They were 2-6, and this year they're 0-3. So that not a single team has won on their second consecutive conference road game. And who do we have in that exact scenario this week, Shane? A&M at LSU, Ole Miss at Oklahoma, Missouri at Vanderbilt, Tennessee at Kentucky, and Texas at Mississippi State. So basically every difficult game that's hard to pick.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing another curveball at you to say, buddy, there's going to be some upsets this week. You know what?
Yeah, I'm going to be upset if I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who's not going to be upset in this game, Mike, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I'm going to tell you right now. There is a national championship contender that's going to be on that football field this Saturday, and it is not the Gamecocks, right? I feel like last week was the last chance, was the last hoorah before South Carolina really starts to reel. Fans are upset. Shit. Fans are running around campus right now, wanting to get their offensive coordinator fired. And by God, I'm surprised nobody has. But they will after this one, because this will not be a football game. And I hate to say it, Gamecock fans, but you're about to get ran through by that Alabama Crimson Tide. Steven Up, you're going to love this one. Give me Alabama 35, South Carolina 17. I feel like Alabama is right there to figuring it out. And I feel like we walk away Saturday saying, they just did that, man. These wide receivers, phenomenal. The running back, is Jam okay? Is he gonna, I imagine he's going to be out there. Mm-hmm. He'll be good. Ty, just another little piece to that Heisman race. In South Carolina, what are they fighting for? You know, their coordinator. That nobody wants.
What, any concern, though, that Bama's playing five conference games in 5 weeks? I mean, that's got to beat the hell out of you at some point.
We talked
we
did talk about this, right? And maybe that's why I didn't put 42 or 49 points on this thing.
Hell, they haven't scored that many all season, unless you count ULM.
There has been zero things. Lenore Sellers, I mean, we're begging people to take Prize Picks at 199. Is that what the number was?
199 and a half.
I mean, think about that, Mike. When we were in the offseason, we crowned this dude as the best quarterback in the country. And I'm not putting it all on Lenore Sellers, but he has got nothing around him. The running game, nail. You know, the lineman, not helping him. He's running for his life back there. Wide receivers, every now and then we get one emerge. Shit, if it ain't for special teams, there ain't nothing special about this team, Mike. And I'm going to tell you right now, South Carolina they're in the gutter right now, and I feel like Alabama's going to really expose that this Saturday.
Well, you know how you get out of the gutter, Shane?
How's that?
You whoop Alabama's ass. Come on, buddy. I mean, crazier things have happened. It is Cocktober. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of getting tired of saying that myself, but I don't know, man. I mean, hell, LSU was a 10-point game. Missouri was a 6-point game. I know last week was pretty bad. And I mean, I'm like stretching to find reasons to believe in this team, but I don't know, Shane. I don't know. I got a feeling that South Carolina's going to get their ass whooped. I hear you, Shane, but I just think it's going to be closer than anticipated, mostly because of that Alabama playing five games in 5 weeks against conference foes. This is the first time in that stretch that they're not playing a ranked opponent. Mm-hmm. And hell, how many times have we got to see it, Shane, where old Kalen DeBoring and his team sleepwalks through a damn road game against an unranked team as a big favorite? I mean, it literally happens every time. So why wouldn't it happen here on Saturday? I think it's hard to get up for this game for Alabama. I really do. So give me a win. But give me Alabama 28. Give me South Carolina 17.
Ooh, close one.
So I think Carolina barely covers. But I think it is closer. I really do.
I don't. I honestly, Mike, would not be surprised if this isn't one of those 14-0 games early. You know, Alabama. I mean, that's what they've been trying to do. That's what Grubb and them want to do. They want to jump on teams. Right. And if they do that, you take this crowd out, which is barely hanging. They're on live support as it is, you know. And if that happens, I feel like Alabama just runs with it.
Hey, shout out Shane Parks. He says, Cousin Shane says, the Cocks get exposed.
Yeah, get exposed. Yep.
Well, how about this, Shane? Will this team get exposed? For your sake, they better not. How about Tennessee, Shane, on the road at Kentucky. Tennessee favored by 8.5 points, over-under's 54.5. Game, this is a night game, the late game, 7:45 Eastern, 6:45 Central on the SEC Network. Who do you like in the ball game?
Oh, man, I wish. Why isn't this at you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. You figured that'd be a good time for this game. Now, listen, Mike, I, you know me, I love this game just because of the history of it. And unfortunately we don't get to celebrate the bourbon bet. A lot of people say, hey, I like that bourbon behind you. You know, how'd you get all that? Well, I got that. That's Kentucky fans sent it to me after they got their ass kicked by them Tennessee Vols. Now, I'm not going to say I didn't send any up there because I did, because there was a time when Kentucky was relevant. There was a time when Kentucky actually won games in this matchup. I don't think that happens this week, but I'm not super confident either, because one of the things you pointed out the other day, Mike, what'd you say, 4 games in a row of one possession scores, and I've been a part of it, you know? I've been a part of every one of those and walking away, scratching my head, saying, why the hell was that one close? And I feel like this could be close, too. It's either going to be close or it's going to be a blowout. I don't think there's any in between, and I think there's 2% chance that Kentucky is the victor here. 2%. That means 98% is coming to the ball. So Tennessee 31, very close game. It's going to make a lot of Vol fans nervous, probably pissed at Josh Heupel and his weight. I don't know why that's a big deal anymore. Jeez, bunch of fat shamers out here. Kentucky 24. So give me Vols by 7.
31-24? 31-24. Okay. Okay. Hey, shout out Shane Steven Up.
Real quick. Shit. Yeah.
$50. Happy birthday. It's Steven Up's birthday. I'm going to play his jingle for him here, Shane. And I see the donations. I'll get to those too.
Showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Happy birthday.
He says, and Mike.
Yeah, early birthday for me tomorrow and celebrating mine today, cousins. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Yes, I just took the wife out. That's what I did today. So, Stephen, I will never forget your birthday. And if I do, I'm in trouble.
Hey, will you be sweating it out if it is a 7-point game in the fourth quarter here?
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Can I ask you, I didn't even get an update here. What's McGowan? What's his situation? Have you got an update? Is he questionable, probable?
Yesterday he was questionable. So we'll get an update here in about...
probably at the end,
45 minutes, 30 minutes,
I will say that would be the big one for me, because... say what you want. I think McGowan's a fantastic running back and an awesome piece of this offense that's kind of emerged here lately. Say what you want. It was a sloppy game last week, but 2 weeks in a row between them and Georgia, I thought Cutter played well. I thought he played well. But, you know, need some other dudes to emerge, and I feel like this is going to be the easiest test. This isn't Georgia. This isn't Texas. This is a Tennessee team that just, I mean – you know, pick your number for the amount of rushing yards you'd like to have. That's kind of what it feels like. So if they're able to get that balance, that's what worries me. But at the end of the day, it seems like every time we watch this game, explosive plays is always in Tennessee's favor, and that's usually how this thing's won.
Any concern that old Joey Schwagular is not so swaggy on the road, Shane?
Well, I mean... we got to have crowd noise for that, right? I think it helps Kentucky that it's at night, you know. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've been to Kroger at night. It's not too loud. You know? Just kidding.
This could be the last stand, though, for old Stoops, you know. Like, I don't think he's getting fired on Sunday or anything.
Yeah.
But this is the one they really treasure. Yeah. I know Tennessee, you said you liked it. I think you like it because they always whoop their ass. But they like it because, you know, this is the one game of the year they really despise the team they're playing, I think, even more than Louisville, if I had to guess. But, I did get done listening to the shout-out Nick Roush and Adam Luckett, their Kentucky Sports Radio 11 Personnel podcast, and it's an hour of them talking about their most agonizing losses to Tennessee. It's a really good listen, Shane. I think I'll send it to you. You'll die laughing. But
I love watching those two guys after a loss. It's like Eddie and them after a loss. It's just complete cinema.
Liquid says Kroger the store is louder than Kroger. I don't know, Shane. I mean, last week against Texas. I mean, Kentucky should have won that game.
Yeah.
So maybe they got some momentum going. I think their quarterback, Cutter Bowley, I really like him as a player. Redshirt freshman. You know, he's still got a long way to go, but he outplayed Arch Manning last week. I think that goes without saying. course, that doesn't really say a whole lot these days. But, you know, he had a good game. I think he's getting better and better. He's only had 5 starts, I believe. So he's starting to come along. You're right, Seth McGowan. That's going to be a huge issue. If Kentucky can run the football, Tennessee's been giving up some insane rushing statistics. So that'll be critical in the football game. How about this, Shane? I didn't realize this, but Tennessee is one of the worst teams in the damn country when it comes to red zone defense with the opponent scoring touchdowns.
Yeah.
Over 81% of the drives that Tennessee allows into the red zone are converted into touchdowns. Mm. It's 135th in the country. There's only 136 teams. So damn near. So if Kentucky's getting a red zone, they're scoring.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, Shane. Kentucky, they're 104th in that stat, too. So basically, if Tennessee gets the red zone, they're going to score, too. So I think this game is going to be a little bit higher scoring than people realize. Because, again, Boley's good. Tennessee, you know, their offense, it's got to keep Mark Stoops and Brad White up at night, because for as good as they can look against other, like Georgia and Texas, somehow they show up for those games. Their defense does. Well, not this year against Georgia, but when it's at Kroger Field, they certainly corral Georgia's offense. They have no handle on Tennessee's offense.
Right.
And that's about all Tennessee has this season. So I do think it'll be a close game. I don't think it'll be a blowout. But give me Tennessee 33. Give me Kentucky 28.
Yeah.
What kind of meltdown, if at all? Well, yeah, there will be one. If Tennessee loses, what's the, on a scale of 1 to 10, meltdown level on old Rocky Top?
I would say a strong 8, you know. Yeah, because this is a Kentucky team that we are not afraid of. And when I say we, I'm talking ball fans. They're looking at, they've got it, right? We get past Oklahoma, we get past Florida in the swamp, we get Vanderbilt. You know, that's like the conversation we're having about college football playoffs. No one is worried about this game, and you should be, because I'm telling you, man, this is a feisty football team, and they've got a lot of heart for everything they've gone through and everything that, you know, guys like us making fun of them, you know, it's they don't care. Outside noise is turned off, and they keep improving the way they're doing right now. They're going to catch an SEC team or two, and I just hope it ain't this weekend.
If Kentucky wins,
yeah,
which neither one of us is predicting, they'll be 3-4. Do they make a bowl game, Shane, with the remaining schedule at Auburn? That may be the first interim week. Yeah. Florida at home. Florida's already at an interim. Tennessee Tech at Vanderbilt, at Louisville. So they'd have to win 3 of those. If they're good enough to beat Tennessee, can they get 3 more?
No. Man. Nah, I'm sorry. I'm not seeing it. They missed their opportunity. They missed their opportunity with South Carolina. They missed it. Sure as heck, they missed it last week. You know, running right up the gut.
I think you could be wrong.
It could be, but I'm probably not.
Because Auburn can't win a game to save their life.
Whoa. Don't you talk about the best 3-4 team in the country like that.
All right. We'll get to them in just a second here. How about this one, Shane? From one UT to a fake UT. How about Texas, Shane? Going on the road at Mississippi State. Them Longhorns, Shane. Favored by 7.5 points, over under 45.5 total points, 4:15 Eastern, 3:15 Central on the SEC Network. Who do you got winning this one?
Mike, we're supposed to pick Texas, right? I mean, that's what we're supposed to. That's what my notes say. Pick Texas. You're supposed to pick Texas in this one because, A, Texas is a good football team. Texas has Arch Manning. Texas has got the best defense in the country. They've been to the college football playoffs 2 years in a row. They're going to keep going. Steve Sarkisian, the best offensive coach, the mind in the country. And it's Mississippi State. They don't win SEC games. You know, 2 years in a row, they're not going to win SEC games. They can't keep kids on their roster at the end of the season. They're just being picked through by teams like Texas. This one feels weird, don't it? This one feels weird, and I'm not picking the upset. I'll just go ahead and let State fans know. But I could definitely see it, right? I feel dirty putting this score out here. I just I got Texas 28-17 because muscle memory tells me to do that. Mm-hmm. But I have never been Texas could lose this game. They could absolutely lose this game. I got to pick a winner, got to pick a loser, and I just can't. I can't. I got to have Texas winning.
You know what that reminds me of, Shane?
What's that?
You last week saying LSU's going to beat Vanderbilt just because you just can't get over that. You know what I mean? Know. So, how about this? I've been doing some digging, some stats here, Shane. Texas, number 16, dead last in the SEC, rushing in SEC games. Mm-hmm. What? Can't run the football. Texas, number 16, dead last in SEC, in conference, in offensive plays of 10 or more yards. So they're not getting explosive plays. Right. Can't run the football. No explosive plays. Quarterback struggling. Offensive line struggling. And how about this? You said it yourself. Texas. Mighty Texas. Elite defense. Number 12 pass defense in SEC games. And their starting safety's out. I guess Blake bomb shaping down here. And these speedy receivers. You know what? So I don't know, Shane. I don't know. It's getting loud down there, Shane. Sarkisian, should he be calling the plays? Arch Manning, should they sit him? I mean, hell, they brought in that other kid for remember a play against Florida. I was like, kid, who's this guy? Should he be the starting quarterback? Oh, buddy, I think we're gonna hear a little bit more of that this Saturday, Shane. Give me Mississippi State to beat Texas. Shane, I'm not going off the logos. I'm not going off of preseason hype. I'm going off of what we've seen this year. This year, State is a better team. Give me Mississippi State 24, Texas 21. Lock of the week.
Oh, buddy, 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 buddy. Yeah, what? Arch should take his helmet off more often. Is that what you're saying? I can't argue with you there, Mike. But they are healthy now. I feel like the running backs will be good. I feel like, it sucks we're down not just a safety, but a team leader, right? You know, so that's got to be factored in there as well. But you just can't overlook this football team. The thing for me, though, is Texas can't, right? I mean, the Boo Birds are out every week. Sark's this week, this whole week, is people asking Sarkisian, should he do this? Should he do that? That's trickling down to the locker room. They know what's on. You know, they cannot lose another game. They lose another game, they're out. And then they're branded. 2025 has a brand that Texas sucks. And I don't feel like this team wants that. They're too damn talented, man. And yes, Mississippi State's playing well.
Weren't they talented last week when they damn near lost to Kentucky?
But
weren't they talented
when they got whooped by Florida? Put your smile on, Mike. A win's a win. I don't care how ugly it is. Have you been to Lexington? It's tough to get out of there with your wallet, you know? So.
Yeah, I'm not super confident in it, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I told you. Well, how bad would that be, though? First conference game in 16 attempts. Mississippi State wins one, and it's over Texas with their $50 million roster or whatever.
Golly, that would be crazy. What would be the meltdown then if that did happen? But seriously though, what change would happen? I mean, Sark's not going to step down from play calling, you know? I mean, that's what they're going to look like. Would they look at a quarterback change? I mean, what would be the move here if you lose a game?
Well, and I'm not trying to be mean here, right?
Yeah.
This is what it is. I mean, let's throw up our schedule here. I think this is all, I don't want to say a lost season, but I mean, how many games are we going to get into this damn thing where we're like, well, they're going to turn it on. You know, yeah. I mean, we're seven games in here. I think it's just kind of who they are. They tried to tell us against San Jose. tried to tell us against UTEP. I mean, Sam Houston was about the only game they looked good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess you could argue Oklahoma as well, but I don't know. They didn't look super impressive in that one either. But I just think we're chalking this up to like a lost season and what needs to change. I mean, I think they need to get better on the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Particularly offensive. Now, you know, I thought they would have figured that out after coming in here last year and whooping everybody's ass because they had a really good offensive line.
Yeah.
I think they got overconfident in that they could just do that again for some reason.
I don't know. Yeah. Bully ball. That's what they're trying to play, and it ain't working. It ain't working.
You know what is working, though, Shane?
Big Chase coming in.
Shut up. $50. Happy birthday. Buy a couple of drinks on me this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Where are we going, Mike? Where are we going?
All right. How about this one? I teased it a little while ago, Shane. We got a real barn burner here, Shane, with Auburn on the road at Arkansas. Shane, Auburn opened as a 2.5-point favorite. It has swung mightily. Shane, Arkansas favored by 3.5 points, over under 56.5 total points, 12:45 Eastern, 11:45 a.m. Central on the SEC Network. What's the excuse going to be this week if Auburn loses?
Oh, what a game. What a game this one. This may be the game of the week right here because if you think about it, you got two teams that absolutely suck at winning close games. And I have no doubt in my mind this is going to be a close game. So you're right. What is the excuse that comes from here? I love the fact that we may see one of the best defenses go against one of the best offenses, you know? And, I mean, hell, I tell you right now, Mike, this is the truth, and you put a lie detector on me. If you had Auburn's defense and you paired that with Arkansas's offense, they would be my favorite to win a national championship. That's just where I'm at. We watch two superior sides of the football here.
Hey, if we could do that, you know, pair the offense and defense. How bad would Arkansas defense and Auburn offense be if we had to pair that together?
Oh, buddy. That stat you said Tennessee's 135, that'd be 136 right there. So, I feel like, Mike, truthfully, though, this is going to come down to a couple of mistakes that both teams are already making, right? Yeah. Whether it be turnovers from Arkansas, stupid mistakes on offense from, you know, Jackson Arnold, just something. There's going to be something, you know, a coaching decision, a coaching mistake. You got to pick one. I like the fact that Arkansas is at home. You know, I like the fact that Auburn was able to get this game early. You got two coaches that are, believe it or not, fighting for the job. Don't think Bobby P ain't still in the running to get this thing. He'd love to keep it. And you could keep it by getting a big win against Auburn. But, Mike, there is only one really good 3-4 football team out there. And there's about to be one really good 4-4 football team. Give me them Auburn Tigers going up there, pulling off the upset with Arkansas 31, Morristown Honda, Arkansas 30. No confidence.
Man, you are all in on Hugh Freeze.
This is it. You
just want him to keep a job a little while longer so I can keep making fun of him or something?
I have enjoyed it. I have enjoyed it. But, you know, I mean, I don't know if the rumor about the officiating was true or not, right? But if it is.
Apparently it is.
Yeah, well, I know. That's what I'm saying. So
we need to get that. I'm going to try to get that guy on and talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. So there's potentially a win, right? You know, and then you look at the Oklahoma. We all watched the Oklahoma game, maybe. You know, so I'm not saying that I'm buying all of it, but I am saying that there were moments during the season that Auburn's absolutely got hosed.
Right.
And
but, I mean, could you just as easily, not that they got hosed, but fumble against Ole Miss, against Memphis, hell, four fumbles against Tennessee. If we just don't fumble the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, Arkansas's 5-1.
Do you think this is it? I never thought about it. The Shane curse. Maybe it's me. All that hate you've just put in for Hugh Freeze, I'm now carrying it over with them Auburn Tigers. I don't know. I honestly, and I told you at the start of this one, I feel like this is going to be a really, really good football game.
Yeah.
And Mike, it wouldn't blow. Like, this is why it's Morristown Honda. It's the one I have least confidence in. I truly can't see Arkansas winning. I truly can't see Auburn winning. This is just a coin toss for me, and it's going to be a great, great football game to watch.
Cousin Rick says, I need to take your keys, Cousin Shane. That's what family.
He's cut off.
Is it just your belief that I mean, really, if you really look at these two teams,
yes,
they're both very close to winning more games, but you have a belief that Auburn is you know, able to correct those issues. Is that what it is?
Auburn has more talent. Is the main. It boils down to just talent. I love Auburn's defense. They're doing it. They're getting the job done. Now, on the offense side, say what you want about Jackson. Not a huge fan, right? I mean, he's up and down. But I do like the running game. I do like the two receivers. I feel like, you know, there are some weapons on that side of the football that can make this a very, very interesting football team. I can't say that about Arkansas defense, right? So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm just, does that fail again? Does Cam have multiple drops? You know, can they not get the running game going? If that happens, then Arkansas wins. But if they can get it going, and they should be able to do that against this Arkansas defense, then I feel like a balanced football game, which we've not seen Auburn do yet, yeah, they could absolutely beat the Razorbacks.
How dumb is Hugh Freeze for going? He had to know coming into this year he could lose his job. And he's like, you know what will fix this? Jackson Arnold. I thought he could hit.
Yeah.
But all offseason, we said he's the ultimate X factor.
I always wonder, you know, because we talked about, like, negotiations behind the – I've been – Tony V, I'm not going to get onto that one because this is a football podcast. But I do wonder about the negotiations for some of these quarterbacks, right?
Right.
Not just any of the players, but, you know, Hugh Freeze is sitting there with all this money, and he's like, we want to go. I wonder how many they got no's from, or how many rejections, or was this guy at the top of that list? You just kind of wonder, because there have been a lot of transfer quarterbacks that have absolutely nailed it this year, man. And so, yeah, this would be a big whiff if Auburn fails to make a bowl game at the end of the season.
Right. Well, it all started, not to rehash history.
Yeah.
Because they were after Cam Ward, who became number one pick. Now he's Tennessee Titans quarterback. And Hugh Freeze said, I ain't paying $1 million for, remember that? That's where that quote came from. If they had Cam Ward 2 years ago, I mean, Auburn's on fire.
And it's easy to sell Auburn when you have an elite offense, you know? That's why you look at Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin has no problem getting quarterbacks. Why? Because he can turn on the tape and say, this is what you can do here. You know? They can't do that in Auburn right now.
Yeah. Well, you've said a lot, Shane. Let me comment here that I think you're completely overlooking them Razorbacks at home, buddy, with old Bobby P. Now, you're right. Auburn defense is legit. But how much longer can they keep us up, Shane, if the offense doesn't do their part?
Yeah.
Now, I liked what I saw from Auburn's rushing attack against Missouri. So there is optimism there, but you know, those two big home games, Georgia and Missouri, I just feel like that was Auburn's opportunity to get a win and kind of turn the season around. Meanwhile, it's the exact opposite for Arkansas. They were going on the road at Tennessee, at A&M, right? They hosted A&M, but at Tennessee, and then A&M comes to town, and they're playing their ass off for old Bobby P. I think they're doing about as well as they can, but the same deal, you're right. I mean, they keep blowing games themselves. So who's going to blow this one? The weather is also an issue.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps offense or defense really, but, you know, I think most people think that helps the defense. I think that helps the offense.
Yeah.
Because you know where you're going, you know the play. Defense is trying to react, causes the defense to react slightly slower. Arkansas, it don't matter. Their defense is already garbage. But Auburn, their defense, if they're a hair slower against this team, they're going to pay for it, Shane. Give me them Razorbacks winning this one, 28, Auburn 27, Honda Morristown. So, again, I'm not super confident or anything, but leaning the home team here.
Well, I like it. Wouldn't blow my mind. In fact, if this was a I won't say that. If this would have been 2 weeks ago, I would have said Arkansas without a doubt, you know. But I'm starting to see a little bit of that slippage there. I'm starting to see some also some injuries. And one thing that you have to admit is Auburn has more depth than Arkansas does. And,
yeah.
and I feel like that's going to hurt them later in the season.
Does Hugh get fired if they lose this one and drop to 3-5?
Yes, sir.
9 out of 10 times. He sure does. All right, Shane. Oh, man. Speaking of, well, we'll get to it.
Okay.
I'll tell you here in a minute. Shout out. This game's got me torn, Shane. I mean, I'm flipping it while I'm sitting here talking about it. We got Ole Miss on the road at Oklahoma. Shane, what a showdown. The footballs are split. Oklahoma, 5.5-point favorite, over under 52.5 total points. Noon Eastern, 11 Central, nationally televised on ABC. Who do you like in the ballgame?
Oh, I'd like for this one just to end and let me know who wins, you know, because I have no idea. No, this is one that I've flipped probably 2 or 3 times this week, you know, the more I think about it.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm doing that is I'm doing a comparison. And then that's what kills us sometimes. But you're like, okay, who has Oklahoma played? Who has Ole Miss played? What do they look like here? You know, and you know, I'm not breaking down these plays. I'm just a common fan that sits on the couch drinking cold beer. And I'm like, would I want to play that team or do I want to play that team? And I'll say this, you know, John Mateer, when he was at his best, Oklahoma is one of the scariest football teams in the country. Nobody wanted them. Right. And I feel like they took a little bit of a hit during this Red River. And a lot of people were looking at him saying, you know, John Mateer looks rusty. Because you know why they're saying that? Because nobody watched South Carolina. Nobody watched that game. And what I saw in that game was a John Mateer that played better, right? That made better decisions. I saw defense that didn't miss a beat. Now, you look on the other side of the football here, Ole Miss. This is the team I told you my life is on the line, Mike. I told you which team is most likely to make the college football playoffs 3 weeks ago. I said this team. They've lost one game, a little worried. Do they lose a second one? Very possible. I mean, they're the underdogs here. And I feel like what we always do is we navigate to the quarterback, we navigate to a running back, we navigate to the offense, but we overlook the defense. And I'm going to tell you right now, Ole Miss would have won this game 9 times out of 10. They would have won this game if they had last year's defense. This defense ain't the same. This defense is not bad, but dumb. And when I say dumb, they make dumb mistakes. And I feel like that's what hurts the offense. They don't give them the opportunities they were giving them last season. So can they make those opportunities? Possibly. If this game was played at a neutral site, I would give Ole Miss the win. But it's not. It's going to be played in Norman. So give me Oklahoma. Oklahoma with the big win here. I don't know how the rest of that song goes, but give me Oklahoma 28, Ole Miss 24.
Oh.
When the wind comes sweeping down.
We got to get you on that damn scooter down there. You know what?
Yeah, this is a big one. This is a real big one for them Sooner fans because they want to believe. Man, I can feel it. I can feel it. Oklahoma wants. They want it, man. And I'm not saying Ole Miss doesn't, but Ole Miss knows they got another mulligan in their pocket. And I feel like that's what makes Oklahoma a little bit more dangerous in this game.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have more confidence in Lane Kiffin or Brent Venables?
Oh, man, great question. Lane Kiffin. Yeah, I'd have to say Lane Kiffin right now.
Mm-hmm.
Total. You know, offense versus defense. I mean, I like Venables' defense. I think he's you did it. You said it the other day. You convinced me. Coaching best defensive coach in the country, and I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So I mean, this is going to be an elite coaching matchup.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't know, Shane. I don't know. You have more confidence in John Mateer or old Trinidad Chambliss?
John Mateer.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. John Mateer's the real deal. Trinidad, I mean, Trinidad's really good, too. He's a freak athlete. But John Mateer, I know, there's just something special about a few of these guys that are in the Southeastern Conference, especially at quarterback and few possess them, and some of them lose them. We've talked about a couple quarterbacks that I felt like that had it last year and maybe lost it. I feel like John Mateer is he's in an elite group right now.
Yeah, and then not to be this guy, Shane. Oklahoma's elite defense, right?
Yeah.
Who have they played? I hate that more than anything. Mm-hmm. But when you look at it, Michigan, I didn't really have any respect. That was literally the only Michigan game I watched, right?
Yeah.
But as a freshman quarterback, I don't know. I didn't see much. Auburn, we know all about them on offense. Texas, we sure as hell know how bad they are. South Carolina, they wanted the coordinator fired before that game, Yeah. So is Oklahoma elite? Sure. But I think the numbers may be a slightly inflated because they haven't faced an opponent quite like this.
Uh-huh.
Now, I think you could easily say the same thing for Ole Miss. Who the hell they played on defense? LSU's good. I'll give them that. But Georgia sure as hell wasn't. And when Georgia kind of bucked up, Ole Miss didn't do shit on them, and it right. cost them the game. So maybe Ole Miss a little overrated on offense. Buddy, I told you, I'm going back and forth, back and forth. Statistically, Oklahoma's elite in damn near every category on the defensive side of the football. So I kind of kid when I say all that. I know they're elite.
Yeah.
But they got to prove it to me on Saturday. Going up against Lane Kiffin, this is why he gets paid the big bucks. This is why mm-hmm. Florida wants his ass, because he can scheme it up with the best of them. But I will disagree with you on one thing, Shane. Oh,
okay, fair.
I was all in on Mateer.
Yeah?
And I'm not out on him, but I think he was like the Heisman front runner ever since that Texas game, Shane. I'm a little hesitant. I think he's still not right quite yet. Even last week, it was mostly on the ground game.
Yeah.
Now, if Oklahoma runs like they did on South Carolina, if they're able to do it against Ole Miss, they're gonna run their ass right out of the building. Mm-hmm. I think give me some Pete Golding magic though for this one. I don't think I've ever done this, Shane. Two Honda Morristowns. Give me Ole Miss 28. Give me Oklahoma 24. And I picked against the Sooners last week, so you're welcome, Oklahoma fans. Congrats on the win. You know what?
Not fair, Mike, because I would have Morristown Honda this one too. Which one? Let me ask you this, because you got to pick one. Scale of 1 to 100, confidence level in your pick on this one. Is it a true 50-50, or would you? Let me say, compared to the other one, say the Arkansas Auburn game. Is there one that maybe you're a little bit more confident in?
I'm more confident in Arkansas because I think Hugh Freeze is such an awful coach, and they just find ways to lose.
Yeah.
Whereas Ole Miss on the road. But here's the deal. I went against it last week. I shouldn't have. But every time I'm torn like this, I got to go with my first initial gut instinct.
Mm-hmm.
My gut instinct all week last week was Oklahoma. So I don't know why the hell I went and picked South Carolina. But this week, I still don't get how Ole Miss is the underdog.
Yeah.
I think they should be favored in this game. Now, yeah. I'm not guaranteeing it, but I think Ole Miss is slightly better.
To be fair, you talk about gut, and I trust mine. Look where it's got me. I had Ole Miss for two and a half days this week, and then I switched it because I did what you did. I kind of looked at some of the games they played, and honestly, I looked at even Ole Miss. I tried to compare it against, like, have they played an elite defense? The best one I could come up with was with LSU, and I'm not saying they got lucky in that one, but, that was a close one, man. You know what I'm saying? And can Oklahoma get 20, 25 points? That's just kind of how I'm looking at it. Georgia had, this isn't Georgia from 3 years ago, 5 years ago. They let you know Georgia cannot get pressure on the quarterback. I don't think Oklahoma's going to have that problem. In fact, Trinidad, you thought he's running for his life during that LSU game. You just wait, because I think that's the key, is to get him on his heels and make him make mistakes. So for me, it came down to home field advantage. And I felt it sucks that this game's early. I don't know why Oklahoma didn't get a late game here, but if you know, the fact that it's early, I'm that's why I'm a little bit more hesitant, but you need to have that Michigan environment, you know, and if you can do that, you can really help your boys out here.
Yeah. All right. How about this one, Shane? College game day coming to town, Shane, down in Nashville as Missouri is at Vanderbilt, Shane. Vanderbilt favored by 2.5 points. Vanderbilt's top 10. What? Missouri's top 15. What? This is the age of college football we're in, Shane, and I love it. Over under 52.5, 330 Eastern, 230 Central on ESPN. Who do you got in this battle of playoff hopefuls?
I tell you, I've adopted these Mizzou Tigers, right? Ain't no, everybody knows. Everybody gets tired of it. I get tagged all the time saying, why you're from Tennessee. I get more Vol fans get upset when I talk about Mizzou. They're just like, how dare you? You know, I get it. I fell in love with these guys. I went up there, loved the campus, loved the people, still love them. You know, and I love Drink. I feel like he is exactly what I want in a coach, and that's why his name's been floating around here. Now, I'm not saying he's been packing all week. You know what I'm saying? I feel like he's completely dialed into this game. This is game day, and, you know, he's upset. He's pissed off that they weren't recognized earlier in the season, yet we're going to Nashville to a one-loss Vanderbilt team, and they're going to get that opportunity. So there's there's a lot on this game for Mizzou, right? Because Mizzou fans are expecting to win it. Now, on the other side, got Vanderbilt. Here's a football team that I've doubted since I was born. I've never thought Vanderbilt has arrived. Even when Franklin was, I felt like it was a gimmick. I couldn't wait for him to leave. And now he's potentially coming back in the SEC, whatever. But I'm saying, I believe now, right? And for me, it was in a loss. It was that Alabama loss. I'm watching that game and I'm saying, you know, they lost that game, but they lost the game making stupid mistakes. You know, I feel like Pavia, how can he not be in a Heisman race right now? How can he not be the number one? I get there are some great talented quarterbacks, some great talented receivers and running backs in this country, but nobody is elevating a football team higher than this man right here, Diego Pavia. Unreal, just unreal. I'm glad you brought Bo up. This is, for me, when I'm trying to pick a winner and a loser, I find the weak spots, right? And right now, Bo is the weak spot. We know that Mizzou has got an elite running game. No doubt in my mind. Anybody that watches it, you watch that little muscle hamster running out there. Yeah, I tell you, I can't wait to get him on one of my fantasy football teams, you know, next season. But when you make Mizzou one-dimensional, you see exactly what happens, and a football team takes advantage of it. So, Mike, I haven't got a lock, but I've got one coming your way. And a lot of people don't realize this, but did you know that Vanderbilt got its name from Cornelius Vanderbilt?
No.
Now, yes, absolutely. One of the Vanderbilt. In fact, my brother just went to the Biltmore, part of the family, all right? Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people didn't realize is he had a dumber cousin named Shenarius Vanderbilt. And he's presenting this week's lock of the week. Give me Vanderbilt. I'm a believer. 31, Mizzou 20. Lock it down, baby.
Oh, 11-point win.
Yes, yes. I feel like you talked about it earlier. Classic keep away. We're going to run. Both teams are cool with that. They're both cool with having three or four possessions during this entire game. So when that happens, each possession is pivotal that you get some points. And which quarterback do I have more confidence in? Without a doubt, it is the Heisman winner, Diego Pavia.
They want to see that photo again. So I'm going to
Shenarius Vanderbilt.
Oh, mercy. Shit. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If Missouri wins Ahmad Hardy, if Vanderbilt wins Diego Pavia, the winner, should the winner, would you consider the Heisman front runner?
Say it one more time.
Like, let's say Missouri wins because Ahmad Hardy has, like, his best game to date, or Vanderbilt wins because Diego Pavia has his best game to date.
Yeah.
Would you consider the winner? I'm not saying you're guaranteeing they're going to win the Heisman, but should be like the Heisman front runner.
Well, I think Harding would get back into the race because he's not in it right now. He got dropped off. But I think Pavia, without a doubt, should be the front runner.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to think about. Yeah. I certainly think points could be at a premium here, Shane. And I am a little worried about Vanderbilt's defense.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're good. They're not near as good as the offense, of course. But offense is going to chew up the clock. Again, Missouri is going to chew up the clock, I think, on offense, particularly if they're able to have success on the ground, which I think they will. So, man, I don't anticipate a high-scoring game. I think this game will come down to a mistake or two, potentially.
Yeah.
Fumble here of, last week was fun, wasn't it, with Diego Pavia and LSU and all the play. Well, not if you're an LSU fan, but if you're not, all the Diego Pavia magic out there.
Yeah.
But sometimes that can burn you, Shane. Sometimes it looks like magic till it looks like dog shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you could easily force him into some kind of horrendous mistake, and Missouri could run their ass out of the building. And I'm interested, are you at all nervous, Shane, that old Drink? And you know, I think he's a really good coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think the team takes the pulse of their coach. Really good coaches. I think you see that. And, man, is he playing the disrespect card this week.
Yeah.
I have a feeling in that locker room it's heavily disrespect. Does that concern you at all?
A little bit. There's a lot more noise coming out of Columbia than there is Nashville right now.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Shane, there probably should be. You know why?
Why?
Because Missouri is going to lose. Give me Vanderbilt 24, Missouri 20. I was hot on Morristown this damn game too, but
yeah.
I can only do two here, but I think this could go either way. I just think Vanderbilt's too hot right now. I think they're like a team of destiny.
Yeah.
But, I mean, would it surprise me at all? Literally, no, it would not. I just think it'll come down to one mistake. Who makes the mistake? Bo's been throwing picks. Diego hasn't. You know, so that's critical in this one. I think Bo makes a mistake he shouldn't have. And hell, just watching that Auburn game.
Right.
He made the plays at the end. Mm-hmm. So maybe I shouldn't be doubting him. Maybe he is getting better. But we were about three quarters into that football game. I said, well, hell, I can't tell the difference between Jackson Arnold and Bo Prabula. You know what I mean? I literally couldn't. So you're telling me he's going to out-duel maybe the Heisman frontrunner on the road? I ain't buying it, Shane.
I think that would be the reason, though. Because, you know, I told you when we did our recap Sunday that I just felt like Bo isn't the same Bo we saw week one and two, right? There was a lot more swag to him, you know. So there was just, it just felt like he came in, he owned the room and wasn't afraid to put the ball there because he knew it'd be there. And you know, you're starting to see some of these young receivers do some special things for Mizzou. But if that does not take, then you're just you're making life so difficult for Hardy and Roberts. Because if they can just put eight or nine in the box, then the game's over. But if that eight or nine's in there, but you make them pay, which again, Vanderbilt, they're not, I mean, this isn't a damn LSU defense. This ain't an Oklahoma defense. It's a serviceable defense. It's a bend but don't break defense. But I feel like you can have some yards against them. But if you do not take advantage of those possessions, that's the key, right? Like you said, turnovers. If you don't get something out of those drives, Vanderbilt's going to play keep away for about 6 minutes, and you're going to be like, damn, we're already in the third quarter. That's what it feel like.
Hey, shout out Cousin Too Slick. Shane, give us $20. Lock of the week, LSU 28, A&M 17, according to Too Slick. So that's our final game, Shane. Let's get into it here. Mighty A&M, undefeated, only remaining undefeated team in the Southeastern Conference at LSU, Shane. Haven't won down here since they joined the SEC. They're 2.5-point favorites, so in Tiger Stadium, what Over under 50.5 total points. Another night game, 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on ABC. And it sounds like we could be getting a weather delay, perhaps. Mm. Wonder how that could factor in here. But what do you like in this one?
Well, I think we're talking about doing a watch party of this one, but I don't know if it's going to be at midnight. Hey, I'll say this, man. I feel like this is two different stories coming into this one, right? You've got Texas A&M, brother. They're thinking, they're already thinking about December. Hell, they're thinking about January. You know what I'm saying? LSU's thinking about who their next coach is going to be. And I go back to this game last year. You know, this for me was when, like, I had my doubts about Brian Kelly, especially when he couldn't win a week one season opener, you know. But it really ramped up during this game last year because this was the game I didn't think that A&M would win, and they didn't just win. They curb stomped LSU, right? And I felt like that started the narrative that Brian Kelly may not be the guy. And then it's just kind of snowballed to this point. Now you got Brian Kelly really desperately needing a win. And the excuses that you talk about some of these coaches are making, like, he's not even saying them anymore. The offense sucks, right? We just hate it. We hate watching it, and now it's going to be in the rain? You know, it's like, you feel like, oh, is it going to be even worse? I don't think so, man. I think there were some small steps forward last week. They're very minimal, but I feel like there is some progress here with this LSU offense, especially with the running game. I love true freshman, or what's his name? Man, I love him. No, not Durham, but the other kid. Is it Perry? No. Anyway,
Barry.
Yes, you're going to get a dose of him. I love this kid. I feel like he could be the next great LSU running back. And that's kind of what they've been missing. It's just the balance. Nuss doesn't need to win it with his arms anymore. So you do that. You do this with the defense. You do it at home. You may be able to beat Texas A&M. But then, you know, I say all that. Then I look at the other side. I'm like, you know what? There's not a more balanced football team in the country than the Aggies that are coming down here. It's offense, it's defense, it's special teams, it's everything. Everything is running smooth. You know, we're making side bets if Marcel Reed will accidentally throw an interception. That's just how bad it is for Texas A&M right now. And there's two camps. There's ones that say Texas A&M hasn't played anybody, and Texas A&M, you know, is back, baby. Number one. I got to pick one. And I'm going to pick one right now. I'm going with the home team. Give me LSU giving A&M their first loss, 31, Texas A&M 28.
Ooh.
It's a close game, Mike. It's a close game. And similar to some of the other ones, I said, if neutral site, I'd probably favor A&M here. But if they get this one, then I'm completely on that bandwagon.
Yeah, I mean, it's do or die for LSU, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Now, if you're capable of beating a team of this caliber, you know, A&M's what, number three, I think, in the polls.
Yeah.
You know, I think that buys a lot of goodwill down there in Baton Rouge. And I know it's silly to say, you kind of almost hit on this, but you know, I think LSU's offense is looking better and better each week. It's kind of hard to tell because they're losing these damn games. Nobody gives a damn if you're looking better but losing, right? So,
right.
This will be a test here. A&M's defense, at times they look sensational, particularly when they're able to overmatch someone on the offensive line, which, that's a little bit of a weakness for old LSU. Shane, Brian Kelly came into the year saying, buddy, I've coached some good offensive lines. This is as good as any of them. And fast forward here, 2 months into the season, he said, God, if we had five more guys, I swear we'd be playing them. You know, like, you can't have it both ways. You can't say this is an elite offensive line and, God, these guys suck ass. I mean, you just can't do that. We got Brian Kelly out here hat in hand. You know, at one point he's calling the fans spoiled, and now he's saying, hey, we're trying. We're turning it around. We're getting it close here. I think Garrett Nussmeier's really got to have his best game of football for LSU to win. Meanwhile, A&M, you know, we still haven't seen it with without Le'Veon Moss. We haven't seen that hurt them yet.
Yeah.
Now, it killed them last year without him. He basically was the offense, but thank goodness this year, Shane, we got Mario Craver and Casey Concepcion, the best 1-2 receivers, not just in the SEC, but probably the nation here. So, yeah. Big spot here for Marcel Reed. He's been, I want to say wildly inconsistent, but he has been inconsistent at times.
Yeah.
Now, he's got a couple of road wins already under his belt, so it's time to put some respect under Marcel Reed's name. And hell, you know, what is it that kills Blake Baker's defenses? A running quarterback, Shane. Mm-hmm. So they may not face a quarterback as mobile as Marcel Reed as they're going to all the rest of the season. So it's difficult to put a whole lot of stock in LSU's defense. And it sounds like Whit Weeks is out. So
yeah.
That's not – unless they're just about to update the injury report, but he was doubtful yesterday. So mm-hmm. unless he's been upgraded, he's probably out for this game, and he's kind of the heart and soul of that defense. Problem, Shane? A&M, you're 100% right. They just don't win in Tiger Stadium, and I guarantee, Shane, they ain't going 3-0 on this road, this three-game road stretch. I promise you they're not. And, Shane, it's in Death Valley. Tiger Stadium at night. Like Brian Kelly says, we don't lose in Tiger Stadium. Well, you're going to lose on Saturday. Come on, Aggies, give me 31. LSU, you're getting 20 because your offense ain't worth a shit. A&M covers, wins by double digits.
What did you get the injury report? Because I am worried about a few of the guys on this one.
Yes, sir. Let me look her up right now.
So I can change my score real quick before we get off air.
Okay, yeah, Thursday night update here. Whit Weeks, doubtful.
Yeah.
Linebacker, so that's not good. A&M, no one to worry about here. For Kentucky, I know this is one you were worried about. Seth McGowan, questionable running back. So no status update there, but, you know, so basically 50-50. For Tennessee, linebacker Arion Carter, questionable as well. So that's kind of big for Kentucky. Yeah. Let's look at it here. Not good here for Mississippi State, Shane. Running back Fluff Bothwell still remains questionable. Yeah. So he may not play against Texas. And Texas is getting back C.J. Baxter, the running back. Vanderbilt, all clear. Missouri, all clear. Bama. Doubtful. Lutzier Brooks, their freshman outstanding receiver, he's doubtful, so that'll help the Gamecocks a little bit. Gamecocks all clear. Arkansas, half the team's on the injury report.
Oh.
So you might have been good there. Oklahoma, hey, good news for them. Probable offensive lineman Logan Howland.
Yeah.
He's been kind of up and down. Doubtful Keontez Lewis, receiver, hoping to get him back. Doubtful offensive lineman Derek Simmons. That's a big one for Oklahoma. Questionable running back Javonta Barnes and defensive back Gentry Williams. While Ole Miss, all their guys have been upgraded to probable. Daquan Wright, that's a big one. The tight end, Deuce Alexander, the receiver. So good injury report for Ole Miss there.
Ooh. Well, I'm going to change your mind real quick.
And hey, shout out. I didn't want to forget SEC Sean. He's this week's celebrity picker, Shane. So let's go through SEC Sean's picks. He's got A&M beating LSU 31-17. He's got Oklahoma 27, Ole Miss 21. Vanderbilt, Shane, 35, Missouri 27. He's got Arkansas 31, Auburn 24, Tennessee 38. Kentucky 14, Alabama whooping some ass 42-17 at Carolina, and he's got mighty Texas beating Mississippi State 28-10. Shout out SEC Sean.
I like it. I like it. Let's see. One, two, three, four. Let's see. Yeah, four. road teams winning.
You might be able to gain some ground this week, Shane.
I know. That's what I'm looking at here. All right, baby. Let's do this.
And then we had a bunch of donations. So shout out Chase Moore, M-I-Z, Time to Play Villain and Kill Cinderella. Brett became a member. Brett, welcome
to the family.
Too Slick. Again, his bold prediction, LSU beating A&M. Mm-hmm. JR, that damn legend.
Legend. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. He gifted.
Thank you, cuz.
To Go Native Overland. Go Native!
Welcome to the family.
And then we got SEC Sean, Shane. Yeah. He gifted to Christopher Lyons. Christopher,
welcome to the family.
Vols by 50, that's Shane's burner. He gifted one to Ryan Mitchell. Ryan,
welcome to the family.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah, Too Slick. He got James Madden, James, son of John.
Welcome to the family.
Glenn Warsaw, he gifted a membership, Shane, to Lisa Gillespie McClendon.
Lisa, that's a mouthful. Welcome to the family.
And then Liquid got five in here,
Dang.
Shane.
Dang. Not a bye week for him Gators, is it? He got to save some of that buyout money, didn't he?
Shane's other burner, Pork Chop,
hey.
Got gifted. Ate a lot, the coaster guy, Derek Gunnerth, and So Very Common.
Welcome to the family. Did you say ate a lot?
Save a lot.
Wait.
Yeah, you're right. Eat a lot. Yeah.
That could be my other burner.
And then Steve it up. He's back with some donations.
Always thank you, cuz. For them boys in Tuscaloosa, it's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up. He gifted Marcus Williams, Joe Dunnigan, Wyatt D, Sergeant J Dog, and Nathan.
Welcome to the family.
And then I think we had one more. Blake McPherson.
Blake, welcome to the family. Well, we got some down here at the bottom.
Then we had AO Army Shane. As an Aggie who lives in Louisiana, I beg of you, Aggs, beat the hell out of LSU. Appreciate you, Army. Garrett Gray gave us $5. Been too afraid to ask, but I watch podcasts every week. What the hell's Morristown Honda mean? Love the show.
Real quick, Morristown Honda, a town Mike grew up in, was a car dealership, and it was one of the first car dealerships to have a digital sign. And the digital sign would always have a score prediction for the upcoming game against Tennessee and whatever team it was. And if Tennessee was playing ETSU, it'd be Vols 49, ETSU 0. But if it was Oregon back in the day, I always remember that one because they were dominant. It'd be Tennessee 7, Oregon 6. You know, they never picked Tennessee to lose, but they would always beat them by 1 point at least.
It was always a stupid score if they had no faith in Tennessee.
That's right.
Dave, shout out. He said weather is trying to deny A&M's perfect season.
Following them around.
S. Hobson, let it go.
Let's do it.
Better watch out on the road. Hell, all these damn teams, don't you think?
Yeah, I was just looking. There's a lot of home teams that get. Or you said watch out on the road. Shit. There's a lot of ranked teams going against unranked teams on the road, you know? So,
right.
And all of them are like within a score being favorites or underdogs. So, yeah, I think all of them. There's not a team that can take this weekend off.
Nope. And then we got AU Stock. Appreciate you. Thanks for talking to Gabe over from Power Mizzou. He's very good and fair. Missouri 31, Vandy 21. So go check out that Gabe interview. I really enjoyed it. Fatal Recoil. The staff at Missouri loves this matchup. Walking out of Nashville with no grass stains. M-I-Z, Vandy.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Come on.
Forrest, appreciate you. I was upset at how Bo looked in the Bama game till I remember Texas has Arch Manning. that's just mean. Junior, Boomer Dab Sooner.
Thank you, Junior. Appreciate you, cuz.
Peyton, Oklahoma, where the wind comes sweeping down the Shane. Dade, one Tiger team rebrand to the Spiders. Could be some cool uniforms. Too many Tiger mascots, not enough Spider mascots. A&M beats LSU Spiders.
I don't know. Would you name any SEC team after a bug? I don't know.
Couldn't do it.
No. You know, it's weird. Like, hashtag Gamecocks you can't do because I guess it has cocks in it. But maybe maybe you make them spiders so that we can South Carolina spiders.
Spider cock. AORB says, Marooned out Death Valley. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Scott, appreciate you. Ballantin. Hope I got that right. Cause. Reed is the only quarterback that showed consistent growth each game in some facet. I could buy that, I guess.
Reed is the only quarterback that is showing consistent growth. I would think Cutter's throwing it. I think he looks better.
Taylen Green.
Taylen Green. I mean, he's pretty much the same every week. Improvement. I mean, I said Nuss.
What about Gunner? Gunner's a good one. Yeah. I think he's getting better. Hell, he had like 8 touchdowns last week.
Yeah, I guess so. Do you feel like – I feel like I've Ty seen Gunner Simpson? Ceiling. Yeah. I feel like Ty – yeah. From week one to now, improvement, but each week showing consistent improvement. You know, there's been some down weeks for both those guys, in my opinion, Gunner and Ty.
Mm-hmm. Well, wait. Yeah, he says consistent growth.
Yeah.
If we can just remove growth – Arch is consistent. Shout out Christopher Cantrell.
Welcome to the family.
And shout out the legend Rick Shane. Cousin Rick, back again.
It's Texas A&M's biggest fan, Cousin Rick.
Thank you, cuz.
Gig'em, Aggies.
Stay healthy to all the teams and beat the hell out of last year. Hey, Scott's back. He gifted a membership, Shane. Da-da-da-da. I'm trying to find it, trying to find it. Here we go. Through Hayes.
Welcome to the family. That's me Saturday.
Kyle Deaton gave us $20, Shane.
Yeah, Kyle.
Missed the show, but had a question for y'all. You said the Aggies would not go undefeated during the 3-game road stretch, but if they beat LSU, does that change y'all's thinking on it? Or is Mizzou our toughest road game? I think Missouri's the toughest road game, Shane.
Yeah.
Above Arkansas, LSU, Missouri.
Yeah.
Certainly, I think Missouri's a hell of a lot better team than the other ones.
Absolutely. I think, but if they, I told you, man, this is it right here. If they beat LSU on the road, then I don't know if anybody's beating Texas A&M this season. They may go undefeated.
That's bold. Dane, A&M hasn't played anyone. Do you agree? Do not. Hell no. No. Notre Dame out on the road.
Yeah. I mean, ask Arkansas about Notre Dame.
Yeah. And then Midland Sooner became a member. Shane, Midland, welcome.
Welcome to the family.
All right. Anything else, buddy, before we hop off here?
Headlines real quick. If everything happens the way that you think it will happen, what will be the headline come Monday?
I think Brian Kelly's seat gets nuclear if he loses by double digits to A&M. I think that's one. I think we kind of hit on the Diego Pavia Heisman hype. I think that is certainly one. I think Ole Miss, a playoff lock, because I got them winning, right?
Yeah.
So if they're sitting here at 7-1 with the remaining schedule that they have, I think that's going to ramp up, and I think that'll really ensure, I mean, not a given, but I think it almost eliminates Kiffin going to Florida. I really do. Yeah. Because I think if they're in the playoff, I don't think he's going to Florida. So I think that'll be a big topic. And I got Auburn losing. So I think another one will be Auburn. Hugh Freeze could get fired on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But hell, I haven't even probably hit, man, all these damn games, Shane, storylines galore. Perhaps even bigger meltdown than LSU will be Texas if they lose to Mississippi State, as I predicted.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. My two real quick, Mike, I'd say the first one, obviously, I had, A&M losing. So I feel like the theme that we're already at, like, is there going to be a SEC team represent? It's kind of, it feels like there's not going to be one undefeated team now. So is there two one-loss teams? Are we going to have a two-loss team, a three-loss team? I feel like we're going to start asking those questions because we're getting closer to that college football playoff selection. When does that first poll come out anyway? It's coming up, right?
Yeah, it may be. Steven told me the other day, I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, so I mean, it's right around the corner. And if A&M drops, then now you've got several two-loss teams. I don't know. It's just SEC is just pure chaos right now. So that would be one. And then
that's the thing real quick, Shane, on LSU. I mean, I'm sitting here firing the coach.
Yeah.
If they beat A&M, they're right back in the damn playoff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Absolutely. So that the margin is so – that's what all the damn coaches keep saying. But it's true. If they're 6-2 now – their backs will be against the ball the following game against Alabama.
Yeah.
But hell, if you beat A&M, you beat Alabama, you may be a damn lock to get in the playoff. Yeah,
absolutely, man. And the other one I've got is Pavia, is Heisman. So I feel like having game day there, beating Mizzou, that would be planting the flag, right? More people watching. So today's shout outs. Thank you, JP, for putting this together for us. Go to Cousin JR, SEC Sean, Liquid Flame, Steven Up, AO Army, Too Slick, Vols by 50, Glenn Warshaw, Gray, Ron Mexico, Dane, S. Hobson, Ostock, Chase Moore Jr., and Peyton Brooks. Cousin Rick, Scott Ballantine, and Kyle Deaton. If I missed you, he apologized, but it's crazy. And JP's been working his ass off. So, hey, if you didn't donate, that's fine. If you think your team's going to win, be sure to minimize this and hit that thumbs up. All right? Appreciate all the cousins hanging out with us, Mike. I look forward to seeing them Saturday. Mike, have a wonderful, wonderful happy birthday, brother. You deserve it. Yeah, I mean, what are you, 31? You look great. You look great, cuz.
41 on my birthday.
Oh, he's getting up there. That's why we're starting to get these collagen tablets now. Won't be long, we'll be getting Rogaine. Yeah. I'm already too late for that.
All right, hey, and Shay said if you think your team's winning, hit the like up or thumbs up. If you think your team's losing, hit that like up for us. Like, subscribe, go check out the interviews, share. Doesn't cost you a thing, really helps the show. Until then, we'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.